Actually, this is not the same sermon that you saw go with that picture last Sunday night. This is the next one in the series. I'm afraid I'm running out. That's the response that we sometimes give when certain things are needed, and we may see those things as, well, the kind of things that we've only got just so much of, and so as we get close to the end of it, we need to hang on to it, and we need to make sure that, we don't want to run out, completely out, and it's a mistake to look at certain things in that way, because what we're guilty of is imagining limitations where none exist. We started out last Sunday night talking about forgiveness based on the parable that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 18. And tonight we're going to look at another very important subject, the subject of patience and forbearance. You know, even more so than the matter of forgiveness, I think more people respond in the need for patience with the thinking of, well, you know, I don't have all that much patience, and so let's be sure we don't use it all up. Or I've heard people say, well, you know, I've never been very patient. I've even heard Christians say that, and I've got a response that just sort of automatically comes back when someone who claims to be a Christian says, well, you know, I've never been very patient. And, I have to be careful with what I say back. You've never been very patient. You're working on that, I guess, maybe. Is that something that you're really trying hard to develop? Is there something wrong that says that you can't get any more? What's happened? What's not happening when it comes to the matter of patience? I'll be the first to admit that some people are more naturally inclined toward patience. Some people are better at dealing with people and dealing with controversy and dealing with problems that arise, especially the unforeseen or the things that come up suddenly. But if I understand what God's Word tells us, patience is something that we really shouldn't ever run out of. It's something that we should always be working to build so that we will have an unlimited supply if that's what the situation calls for. Now, granted, there's a lot that needs to go along with patience sometimes. Sometimes we need to respond to things in a way that maybe somebody would think was being impatient, but after some careful thought and consideration, we choose our words correctly, and what we say in a situation where someone else might just say, well, I didn't have any patience with that, what we say might be viewed by some as being an impatient answer, but what it really is stating the truth, because the truth needs to be heard. So you see, there's a lot that needs to go along with this matter of patience and why we all need more patience. We do, you know. Every one of us needs to be working on the matter of patience. We need to be more patient. We need to be more patient with our spouse. We need to be more patient with our children. We need to be more patient with our parents. We need to be more patient with our co-workers, with the situations that greet us every day, sometimes very unexpectedly. Patience is not the same thing as inaction. Patience is not the failure to respond, but patience is that ingredient in the life and the attitude of a child of God that helps to measure the response and make it as effective as possible. I really want us to follow more or less the same basic outline that we used last Sunday night, with an exception or two. And we're going to start out by asking, and, well, we may not. Here we go. Asking and answering this question: what is patience? It would be good to define patience in a way that we can all understand. And before we get into some definitions, let's make sure we understand how patience fits into the vocabulary of Scripture. If you use the New American Standard, the English Standard Version, which is what I'm going to be reading tonight, or even the NIV, you'll find patience where a lot of the other translations use the word long-suffering. In fact, those two terms are pretty much interchangeable in Scripture. Wherever you find long-suffering in the King James translation, you'll probably find patience in one of the newer translations. They basically mean the same thing. There are only rare occasions where some other word, or in the original Greek especially, some other term is brought in. In searching through everything I could find, I found like maybe one or two of a slight variation of the old concept of patience being long-suffering. Let me give you three word pictures. I don't want to just give you words. I want to give you some word pictures, so that we'll all be able to remember what we're talking about when we think about patience. First of all, I want to picture patience with the closed... Now, I'm not going to have a picture of the closed mouth, but that's your word picture that goes along with this definition. The closed mouth. Now, I'm here to tell you that represents probably one of the biggest challenges for my patience, is developing more fully the ability to keep my mouth closed, to keep from saying something in a situation where really it would be best just not to say anything. In fact, it seems like sometimes the situation where it would be best not to say anything is the most tempting situation to say something. I can think of all kind of things, especially after the fact. You know, I wish I'd said, or I was tempted to say, I wanted to, you know, that's what we're talking about. Patience is defined as the will or the ability to wait or endure without complaint. Picture a checkout line at Walmart on Friday afternoon. You know how Walmart is. I don't pretend to be a marketing specialist, and so I don't know why they've got 25 cash registers and they only open three at a time. I mean, I'm sure there's a reason. There's got to be a reason. I always said if Walmart, Winn-Dixie, they're just alike because they want to get you in, and they'll do anything to get you in. They're not worried about letting you get out of there. Probably the checkout line in Walmart is the best illustration for most of us in the matter of patience, and especially the ability to endure something without complaining. There have been a few of those rare, rare occasions where I was able just to keep my trap shut, as my daddy used to say, standing there through that 15 or 20 minute checkout line process. Not very often. It's usually a lot more fun to complain about it, to turn to the person next to you and pass the time by talking about how persecuted you feel because they won't open up some more cash registers. But patience could be illustrated with the closed mouth. And that may be one of the toughest aspects of patience, long-suffering, and forbearance. Now, the second definition here, coming from the dictionary, I think we could illustrate it with the persistent hand the persistent hand. Patience is defined as steadiness, endurance, or perseverance in performing a task. You ever get aggravated in the middle of a project and just quit? You ever get so frustrated because things aren't going right and you say, well, I'll just quit. I'm not talking about quitting your job. I'm just talking about quitting in the middle of something that you really need to do. It's a worthy thing. It's tough. It's got its challenges. But sometimes we take the easy way and just give up instead of persevering steadily, being persistent, and keeping at the matter of the work at hand. The third thing that I would offer as a word picture in the matter of the definition of patience is the controlled response. This definition says patience is refusing to be provoked or angered as by an insult, forbearing, to be tolerant. Now be careful. Tolerance doesn't always mean what the world says it means. We're not talking about tolerating sin. We're not talking about not challenging things that are wrong. We're talking about being more patient toward people that we may not necessarily agree with, especially in a matter of opinion. Forbearing. It's another part of that definition. Making sure you respond in the right way. So those three word pictures are very important. The closed mouth, the persistent hands, and the measured response. If you'll keep those three things in mind, it'll really help you to do a better job of putting patience into practice. Now, the next thing I'd like for us to look at is something that we asked last Sunday night about the matter of forgiveness. Why should we talk about patience? And actually, some of the answers that we're going to look at tonight are exactly the same answers that we found to be true about the matter of forgiveness. First of all, I would suggest that we need to talk about patience because our spiritual health depends on patience. Turn with me in your Bibles over to Proverbs chapter 14. You know, I believe that you could flip through the book of Proverbs and almost on every page opening that you would see like this with facing pages, if you scan through just very briefly, it wouldn't be long before you'd find something that applies to the matter of patience, the necessity of patience, the importance of patience. For example, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." Whoever is slow to anger. What's the number one excuse that people give for flying off the handle in anger and doing or saying something that shouldn't have been done or said? Well, I never have been very patient. If you continue to follow through that line of thinking and that line of performance, so to speak, after you've examined everything, the conclusion that you would have to come to on the part of the person who is not slow to anger, but the one who has a hasty temper, as Solomon describes here, he's not very spiritually healthy. His spiritual condition, his heart, needs some work. It's not just this verse. Look down at chapter 15, verse 1. "Soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. Already, we've seen that word pop up a couple of times in just the brief reading so far, folly. Another word for folly is foolishness. Not foolishness in the sense of just being silly, you need to settle down and get serious. That's not the folly that the wise man is talking about. He's talking about the spiritual foolishness. The foolishness that characterizes a person's heart when it comes to the most important things that you could ever approach. Folly. Verse 4. A gentle... Oh, by the way, we skipped over verse 3. You know why verse 3 is there? To remind us of how important these things are that we're reading about. Because verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Don't think you're going to hide your impatience from God. Don't think that you're going to spend your life making excuses that you never have been very patient, and God's going to give you a pass because He knows why you're not very patient. Verse 4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Skip all the way down to verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Now, could there possibly be any argument that a lack of patience makes us spiritually unhealthy? Patience indeed is very important for our spiritual health. But let's look at another reason why we need to talk about patience. Just like we said last Sunday night about the subject of forgiveness, patience doesn't always come natural to everybody. As I said at the beginning, there are some who seem to be naturally more inclined toward patience. Just, you know, their attitude is a little bit more, their personality is a little bit more even-keeled. We've even seen that in very small children. You can take two kids, sometimes from the same family, sit them down together, and one of them's going to beat the other one over the head, and the second one's just going to sit there and tolerate it. Not sure why that is, but some people are more inclined toward patience. But when we're talking about patience, as the Scriptures place the requirement upon us, we're talking about something that we develop and something that God gives us the guidance for developing. Turn with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Let's see here in this chapter how God acknowledges that there are some very important things that don't come naturally to human beings. In other words, they are things that we need to work on. Now, you'll remember Colossians 3 begins with those favorite words of most of us, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at God's right hand. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. But now let's skip on down past that. Obviously, the writer has set the stage and pointed out the fact that there are some obvious choices that we need to be making about the higher things. Not the earthly things, but the heavenly things. Look at verse 5. Put to death, if you're reading the King James translation, it says mortify. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And then he gives a list of things: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On the account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And he says, not only that, but in these you once walked and you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. The obvious point is, you've become Christians. You're children of God. Now, there are a lot of things that characterize humanity that you need to work on getting rid of. These characteristics of humanity, these things that come natural to human beings. Now, drop down to verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Here's the point. Patience is a part of that garment of holiness that God says we need to put on and we need to make sure we keep it on. It's part of what characterizes us as God's children. And it only comes through careful, hard work. Why should we talk about patience? Patience is the clear command of Scripture. Over and over and over, God's Word tells us how important patience is. For example, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 is another one of those texts that begins in a very familiar way and kind of rings a bell in everybody's mind who studied the Bible just a little bit. It's there in verse 1 where Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. But look at verse 2. Here's how Paul says you need to walk. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. The New American Standard Translation says, with tolerance for one another in love. Tolerance. Well, there's a concept. Some people are pretty tough to tolerate sometimes. Even some Christians are kind of tough to tolerate. So let me ask you something. Are you hard to tolerate sometimes? As a Christian, do you put other folks to the test? Or do you especially fail in this matter of being tolerant of one another in love? We could actually go down a long list of passages where patience or long-suffering or forbearance called out as something that God says we must have. It's something around which there is no shortcut, like we talked about this morning. It's something without which we're not going to be able to go to heaven. We need to talk about patience because, let's face it, patience is tough. You know, in some ways, the older you get, the tougher it gets. Patience is one of those things that the devil knows full well how difficult it is to exercise. And therefore, he's become especially adept at challenging us with things that require patience. One of the greatest temptations that Satan ever approaches us with is with the temptation of impatience, a lack of forbearance. a lack of tolerance. Let's look at one more thing and then we'll be finished. I want to share with you three principles of patience, and these are very simple. Three principles. For the first one, let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, assures us that patience is a highlight in God's forgiving attitude toward us. Now, maybe you never looked at it that way, but listen as we read this verse. The Lord is, verse 9, 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is patient with us because what he wants more than anything is for us to come to repentance. And so that's why I say patience is a highlight in God's forgiving attitude toward us. If it were not for God's patience, we wouldn't be able to be forgiven. If it were not for God, long-suffering is the word that a lot of the translations use. If it were not for God's long-suffering, if it were not for God's long-suffering, a lot of things would be different, and even in the biblical story. And Peter says it still applies to us. Patience is a highlight in God's forgiving spirit toward us. Now, the second one is even simpler than that. And in order to see this second principle, you'll need to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Again, one of the most familiar passages to many of us anywhere in Scripture. It's that passage where Paul starts out by saying, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge. If I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. Look at verse 4. Love is patient. Love is patient. King James, love, charity is long-suffering. Have you ever thought about the fact that patience is a quality of love? Patience is one of the things that makes love what it is. Paul says it there, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient and is kind. And then the third one, the third principle, comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Again, you know, it seems like we're dealing only with some of the most familiar passages in Scripture. Because 2 Timothy, chapter 4 is where Paul starts out in telling Timothy, the young preacher, he says, I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will be the judge of the living and the dead by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant or ready, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with what? The King James translation says, all long-suffering and doctrine. The ESV says, with complete patience and teaching. Teaching and doctrine are synonymous. With complete patience and teaching. And so the last thing on the list is that patience is a companion of doctrine or teaching. And sometimes maybe we've wondered why our teaching wasn't received well by someone. Maybe it's because it wasn't offered with enough patience, with all or complete, which is what the word all means in this text, complete patience and doctrine. Paul says that's what ought to characterize all of your preaching, Timothy. If it should characterize Timothy's preaching, then it ought to characterize my preaching, and your teaching, and every bit of teaching that is done in the very important matter of teaching people how to go to heaven. It's got to be done with complete patience. And so it's no wonder then that to some people it seems to be a really bad thing that I'm running low on patience and I don't know where I'll get any more. Is there just a limited allotment that everybody has access to? Hardly. I believe Scripture teaches us that God helps us to develop just as much as we will keep on trying to develop. If all things are as right as we can make them in our lives, if we are applying ourselves to following the principles of righteousness, God's not going to say, "I'm sorry, I can't give you any more patience." Can you imagine that? And yet that's the idea that some folks would cause us to conclude. God's not going to say, "I can't give you any more patience." God is far more likely to be saying to you and me, not literally, but figuratively, "You need more patience. You need more patience. You need more patience in your love, in your teaching." There are two or three other things that we sometimes think we're going to run out of, and we'll be looking at those in the very near future in similar ways. But tonight, if you're not a child of God, we're going to sing this song that has been announced. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, respond in obedience to the gospel, or as an erring child of God who needs to come back and be restored, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.